Well, it's hardly fair that I'm asked to follow that. What a blessing it is for Myra and me to be back with our Gateway family this morning. We think of you often, we pray for you often. I keep up with what you are doing by Facebook and by what you share, and we do miss you. And having said that, let me answer a few questions that many seem to be having, namely, why are we still not at Gateway? Well, one person I recently bumped into said, what's the real reason you left Gateway? Like there was something that we weren't saying. And some have accepted the reason that we've left, but wonder why we're still not members. Now, let me just say that I never thought I would retire from ministry. And actually, I'm still ministering, but not in the way that as a pastor. But in 2020, right before the COVID crisis, thankfully for me, not so much for KP. Right before the COVID crisis, many of you know that Myra was having some physical issues, and we were spending a lot of time going back and forth from Atlanta hospitals. And the Lord knew what was going to happen, and he brought KP with us about 3 years, I think, prior to that. And so I went to my leaders and I said, look, I have spent my entire life ministering to other people. It is time that I minister to my wife. And I knew that I had KP with me. I knew his biblical stance. I knew his abilities. And KP knows how I feel about him. Now, many of you probably know this as well because I've expressed it often. I feel about KP as Paul felt about young Timothy when he wrote this to the Philippian believers. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you as soon as I see how things go with me. And that's how I feel about KP. He's like a son to me in so many ways. And because of KP, I need to express this once again. Because of KP, I can enjoy retirement instead of enduring retirement. Amen. While you give a hand, let me grab a tissue. Pardon? Oh, children, it's too bad you're stuck. You already dismissed them? Okay. That's something that comes with age. Now, why don't Myra and I still attend Gateway? That's a question we often get. And I began ministry, believe it or not, I began ministry in 1968, long time before some of you were even born. And I remained in ministry until 2020, full-time ministry until 2020. And at that time, after prayer, I decided that for 52 years, 46 of them as a husband, 42 of them as a husband and father, I had dedicated my life to other people. It was time to dedicate my life to serving my wife and her needs at that time. And I knew that Gateway could always get another pastor, and I knew I had him. But I also knew that Myra could not get another husband. Colin could not get another father. I'm sure of it. We've been married 50 years in June, actually. But during that 52 years of ministry, I had the privilege of working in many and varied ministries. And I learned one thing during that time. When there was a regime change, if the old leader stayed there, it was always trouble ahead. And it didn't matter whether you had the best intention in the world or you thought you would be the exception. And I saw it both in ministries I was in. I saw it in other ministries around. And I just determined I wasn't going to be that man. And so, it is our love for you that dictates our current separation. It's plain and simple. We appreciate the encouragement that we get from Gateway still. I am so proud to be called Gateway's Pastor Emeritus. KP will always have my help and encouragement as he desires it, and as those who have contacted me already know this, if you contact me with something that involves the church, I am going to refer you back to KP. And if you contact me regarding something that involves the church, not only am I going to refer you immediately back to KP, I'm going to call KP and tell him that you contacted me. And you know that I've done that, those of you who have contacted me, because KP is your minister at this point. And I love him, and I appreciate him, and I'm enjoying retirement because of you, brother. I got to tell you. So, with that little bit out of the way, the title of my message this morning is, Whom Do You Trust? Whom do you trust? Now, we're going to be looking at some different texts today, but my main text is found in John 8. Jesus is in the temple speaking to a people who have already proclaimed that they believe in him. And so, I don't want you to miss this. We're going to come back to it in the text. And my apologies to the projectionist, because at the last minute, I changed from the New International Version to the New English Translation, because it catches some nuances in this original text that just a little bit better than the NIV. Beginning John 8, beginning in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Judeans who had believed him, If you continue to follow my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they replied, and we have never been anyone's slaves. How can you say we will become free? Jesus answered them, I tell you the solemn truth, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the family forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will really be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. But you want to kill me because my teaching makes no progress among you. Now, let me just pause here and let that sink in for a minute. Jesus is saying, you know, you're claiming to be my followers, but the word's not made progress in you. I'm not seeing growth. Just a thought. I'm telling you these things that I have seen while with the Father. As for you, you practice the things you heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus replied, if you are Abraham's children, you would be doing the deeds of Abraham, but now you are trying to kill me, a man who told you the truth. I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You people are doing the deeds of your father. Then they said to Jesus, we were not born as a result of immorality. They're questioning his origins at that point. We have only one father, God himself. Jesus replied, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come from God and am now here. I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot accept my teaching. You people are from your father, the devil, and you want to do what your father desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not uphold the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I am telling you the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can prove me guilty of any sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who belongs to God listens and responds to God's word. You do not listen and respond, because you do not belong to God. Now remember, Jesus is addressing these words to a group of people who our text says who believed in him. Don't miss that. Today we would say that Jesus was preaching to people who claimed to be Christians, who claimed to be followers of him. And we're going to come back to the top part of that text before we're done. But for now, let's just start with verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Joseph Goebbels, chief propagandist for the Nazi Party, said, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it, and you even will come to believe it yourself. And so psychologists tell us that while it may be true that an oft-repeated lie creates an illusion of truth, the truth of the matter is, repeating a lie does not make it true. You believe an illusion. And I might also add that even if the vast majority of people accept the lie, that does not make it true. As opposed to Satan, whom Jesus said cannot speak the truth, the testimony of Scripture is that God, and we extend that to God's written word, have communicated to us that God cannot lie. The writer of Hebrews wrote, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled hold to the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure. And in a sense, I find it very baffling that people are so quick to believe the one who can never tell you the truth, and disbelieve the one who can never lie. And we do that on so many levels. Why this perplexing but proven trend? Well, the answer is summed up in one word, a word that we don't like to hear very much today. It's sin. Now, there are many words for sin in the Bible that helps define what the word itself means. But put very simply, sin means failure to do what we're required to do, on one hand. Another word that's used for sin is transgression. And if sin means failure to do what we're required to do, transgression means insisting on doing what we're forbidden to do. And the reason we have this is because of a third word that is used for sin, which is iniquity. And iniquity talks about humankind's propensity to believe the lie and convince ourselves that the lie is actually the truth. As a matter of fact, iniquity means perverting the truth. Now, here's an inconvenient truth, if you choose to believe the one who can never lie. We are not basically good people who sometimes do bad things. We are evil people who sometimes manage to do something right. The one who never lies puts it this way, as it is written, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." This is why we need a savior and not a sage. Please understand that. It is impossible for a drowning man to save a drowning man. Years ago, there was a news story out of Florida regarding the unfortunate death of a toddler and her grandmother. The grandmother had been left in charge of the little girl, but she got busy in the kitchen, and the toddler managed to find an open patio door that led out to the deck of their outdoor pool. When the grandmother discovered that her granddaughter was missing, she began to search the house for her and eventually found the open door. She rushed out to find her granddaughter lying face down in the pool. Panicked, she jumped in to try to save the little girl, not considering the fact that she herself did not know how to swim. When the mother got home, she found them both dead in the pool. You see, when we need rescuing, it cannot be by someone who also needs rescuing. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So one sinner cannot save another sinner. Only a sinless Savior is capable of rescuing us. And the only one that fits that definition is Jesus of Nazareth, the sinless Son of God. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Joseph Smith can't save you. You can't save you. You don't need a religious sage. You need a Savior, And only Jesus Christ fits that category. Peter tells us in Acts that there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Now, those who prefer to believe the one who can never tell the truth will be incensed at this. It's too narrow. And by the way, we're not that bad. I got news for you. You are. You know how I know? Because I am. We're all sinners. We're not basically good people. And that may upset you when you say that. And by the way, the reason that we sin, the reason that we do wrong things, is not what makes us sinners. We are sinners by nature. And that's why we become sinners by choice. It's, as we were singing earlier, who we are. It's amazing that the God of the universe would still love us and reach out to us and provide help for us. But because we're sinners by nature and then become sinners by choice, we would much rather listen to the one who lies than the one who tells us the inconvenient truth. That is why humankind's propensity is to gravitate to the one who never tells the truth and resist the God who never lies. And this propensity that we have to believe the liar over the God who never lies is at its root our desire to have it our way. In the beginning, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, were a perfect couple placed in a perfect environment, living in a perfect relationship with the one true and perfect God. Then Satan used the serpent to tempt them. And you might say, well, John, do you really believe that? I mean, don't you believe in the science of evolution? Surely you don't believe the creation story. And may I lovingly say, as kindly as I know, if you have a question like that, you've already fallen for the lie. Just like Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Did God really mean? Surely things have changed in this world since those ancient days. You know, sin entered this world the minute Adam and Eve decided to believe the devil, using the agent of the serpent, to get them to question the word of the one who never lies. So yes, I choose to believe the truth of God, who was present at the creation, by the way, who was present at the fall, rather than the conjectures of men who weren't there, men who have proven that they would rather believe the lie because they don't want a God to answer to. They want their own way, and they want to rid themselves of the instructions of God, who wants the best for us. The God who created us, the God who never lies, gave us a human manual. We call it the Bible. The Bible is God's spoken word to us. The Apostle Peter put it this way, above all, you do well to recognize this. No prophecy of Scripture comes about by the prophet's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever born out of a human impulse. Rather, men carried along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So you have to decide, whether you think you know better than God or you're going to believe God. Now, let me just be very clear here. If you take the parts of this book you like and you disregard the parts you don't like, you don't believe this book, you believe yourself. You believe the lie. You know, the Bible is the most studied and criticized book by all of those who choose to believe the liar. Yet the Bible stands the test of time. It stands the test of good history. It stands the objective test of archaeology on the objective side. And on the subjective side, it stood the test of the lives of those people who have been transformed by the living Christ. D.L. Moody said of this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Those who choose to believe the lies will run from this book. They will attempt to denigrate the Bible using false arguments, straw men, and the pretext of texts that they have ripped out of their proper context. Those who believe the lie ultimately will face a terrifying judgment that will leave them saying, "But I didn't even believe any of this." Unfortunately for them, the Bible says at that time, there will be no excuse. Now, it's one thing to realize that fallen men who do not know Jesus would believe Satan lies, because the Bible says the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because only those who are discerned through the Spirit would understand it. And it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. But you see, the God of this age has not only blinded the minds of unbelievers. If you go back to our text, the people who were claiming to believe him, who are claiming to be his followers, were actually following the devil. So how do we know whether a person is really following God? Well, Jesus gives us that answer. He makes it very clear. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, then you are really my disciples." In verse 37, he says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word." You can be a member of the church. You can attend every time the doors are open, sing in the choir or the praise team, be active in social work. But if you have no room for God's word in your life, you will find a way to kill the real Jesus in favor of a Jesus that you make after your own likeness. If your God never disagrees with you, chances are great that you are not serving the God of heaven. You are serving a God of your own making. Ultimately, what you do with Jesus reveals who you really are. Verses 42 and 43, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." Or as the NAT says, the word is not making progress in you. You're still at the same place when you came forward that time, whatever age it might have been, and there's been no change since that period. The word is not making progress. You know, there are a whole lot of people out there who sound like cheerleaders for Jesus. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? But their lives don't show it. They have the chair, but they don't have the life. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he or she will obey my teaching. If you are not obeying Jesus, don't try to claim that you love Jesus. The Apostle John put it succinctly. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. If anyone obeys his word, the love of God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Folks, it's not rocket science. Do you believe the God who never lies? Or do you believe the deceiver who never tells the truth? On my Facebook page, I posted an old Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. And if you can't see it, Calvin asked Hobbes, Hobbes, do you think our morality is defined by our actions or by what's in our hearts? Hobbes answers, I think our actions shows what's in our heart. And Calvin stands there for a minute with a confused look on his face before he angrily blurts out, I resent that. There's a lot of truth in that cartoon. In fact, James, the half-brother of Jesus, same mom, different dad, Joseph the carpenter was James's father, wrote this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, let me be clear here. Neither James nor I are suggesting a works salvation. The Bible says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Salvation is totally based on the finished work of Christ upon the cross. It's not our work for Christ. But this passage that we love so much from Ephesians continues, and it says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Good works following Jesus follows salvation. It doesn't earn salvation. Good works is evidence of the salvation that we have received through faith and the grace of God. If your Christianity is all talk but no show, if your faith is only evidenced one day a week when you come here on Sunday for an hour, unless there's a dinner afterwards, so it might be 2 hours. You may have believed the lie of the one who can never tell the truth rather than the freedom offered by the one who never lies. The Apostle Paul sums it up nicely this way. He says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So the question that I want to leave you with this morning is, who are you listening to? Make no mistake about it, you are listening to someone. There is a spiritual force working in this world, many times unseen and unsuspected. And it's the devil who can never speak the truth. And he seeks to convince you that he has your best interest in. He wants you to enjoy life. In reality, he wants to destroy you. Why would you listen to him? On the other hand, God, who never lies, the God who has proven his love for you by sending his Son to die on a cross and rise from the dead, because he loves you, do you think that he's in heaven saying, "No, I think I got a hold of him. I think I'll mess him up"? No, that's the devil talking. Why would you not listen to him? Let me pray for us. Father, it is so easy. It is so easy to fall prey to the aptly named God of this age. The God who would convince us that marriage could be between more than just a man and a woman. The God who would convince us that sex is how we feel, not a biological reality. The God of this age who would convince us that if we try to follow God's word, we will miss out on so much in life. The God of this age, whose one desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. Father, if there's anyone here today who has never said yes to you, I pray that today might be the day they do that, that today their eyes might be opened, those blindfolds of sin and Satan would be removed, and they would see that the God who never lies has done something for them and wants to do something in them so that others who have not seen the truth will see and believe and come to faith in the Savior. Lord, I pray that you would do what no man can do, and that you would search each heart, search my heart, Lord, and forgive us for our propensity to go with culture rather than Christ, to believe the lie rather than the truth. And help us to turn and follow you completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whom do you trust? The most important question for each of us today that demands an answer today. And the reason I say it demands an answer today, because now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. As I was sitting, I was listening to Pastor John, and he talked about how we are sinners by nature, which leads to us being sinners by choice. And Lord, all I can think about, Pastor, is all the sin I've done in this world. But the Bible says where sin increase, grace increase all the more. So as he talked about us being these wretched and pitiful people, who would deliver us? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. In order to die to sin, your faith has to be in Jesus Christ. The Father then considers that you have died with Christ, being raised to life now to live that life to God that he was talking about. So we want to give you an opportunity at this time. For those who desire to, you can come to my left, your right, and kneel. Maybe you want to have a moment of prayer with the Lord. Or maybe you desire someone to pray with you or for you. You can come to my right, your left. But we offer this time that you might come. For those who are able, stand on your feet with me. As those who desire to come, won't you come? I believed the lie for a long time. But by God's grace and his mercy, he opened my eyes that I might see. It was who I was. You may be seated. Most of you, especially if you are former members of this local assembly, you know, here at Gateway, there are some things we have continued. Something that Pastor John began and we continue in. And on first Sundays, we observe Holy Communion. And in keeping with the way Pastor John had it set up, we observe what's called open communion. And by open, what we simply mean is we don't decide who can and who cannot take communion. I will say that according to the scriptures, communion is for those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So we're going to, if there is anyone that's been overlooked as we prepare to observe, if you please raise your hand, we have someone ready to make sure that you partake if you desire to. I think this needs to be said because of the message that we've heard today. I wouldn't even take this moment for granted. While it may seem like a wafer and some juice, it's what it means. So much so that we're even warned in scripture that there were those who drank this unworthily, in an unworthy manner, and they died. Have you truly come to see who you are and trust in the one who cannot lie, who has promised you life if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus? So as we prepare our hearts and our minds, I'll even say this, if your relationships are not right with each other, make it right. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian believers, says in the 11th chapter, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, we do. We come before you, God, to give praise and honor and to give thanks, God, to give thanks for the body that was prepared. The body that was given, God, so that the Son of God might come down and be made flesh, Father, so that as the sinless God-man, he would take our sins upon himself. So we thank you for the body, God, and we pray that you'll bless this bread as we partake. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we give glory and we give honor and we give thanks, God, for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God, that would pay the penalty for our sin, God. The blood of bulls and goats was unacceptable, God. It was his blood, God, that atoned for our sins. And so we thank you, God, and we pray, God, that you will bless this cup as we partake. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And Paul was sure to make sure they understood the purpose of it all. He says, for whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And the church said, amen. Amen and amen. Once again, come on, bless the Lord again in this place for his word. Again, we're grateful to Pastor John and Miss Myra for, again, coming out and being obedient and blessing us with from the word today. I am so grateful to have a father in the ministry slash mentor in the ministry. And he was right that I can call at any time if I choose to. He would be there for me. And so I'm grateful and I thank you so much, God, to the Lord for your passion for him and for your obedience to his word. So thank you again for that. Thank you so much for all of you who have come. So good to see so many that I haven't seen in a while. And I'm sure there are some of you who are joining online as well. We are grateful. Please make sure you come around and show Pastor John some love before if you got to get out of here quick. But there has been a meal prepared in the back. And I hope that all of you will stay in fellowship. We can still worship God in our fellowshipping with one another in our love and breaking of bread by way of the meal that's been prepared in the back. Brother Dennis McCannon is in the back to receive our benevolent offering. We do take that up on every first Sunday for those who are less fortunate. If it's in your heart to give there, he'll receive that from you in the back. Let me pray for us one last time and bless the food in the back. And again, if you have to leave, at least come around and speak before you take off. One last thing before that as well. Elders, could I get the elders of Gateway to come forward? Wait, if you come forward. Right here in front for me. And I'm just having them come forward just to show you. These are the guys that helped me serve in overseeing and watching over you. And so come on, bless the Lord for them as well. Sometimes you're not able to get in touch with me. But if you'll look on the handouts that are given out on Sunday, all of these gentlemen, their numbers are there. You can call them, get with them about any concern that you may have, but they help me serve you. And so I just wanted to bring them forward so that make sure that you all see who they are. You have Brother Wallen here on the right, where your left. Your left, then you have Brother Mike Lantrip here. You have Brother Steve Tucker, Brother Bernard Roberts, and Brother Lamar. Everybody knows Lamar. At the end there. But these gentlemen, I am so grateful to God for their commitment and their willing to serve in the role of leadership here at Gateway. So let me pray now one last time and bless the food and we'll be dismissed. Again, Father, we come before you, God, in the name of Jesus, and we come to express our gratitude once again, God, for your grace, God, for allowing us to be in this place. I thank you so much again for all who has come, God. Thank you so much for your favor and your blessings that's been bestowed upon us, for us being allowed to just see this day, God. May we not take it for granted. God, you have ministered to our hearts by putting a question before us today. Whom do we trust? May we be found with faithfully answering that question today, God. And God, may those who have believed the lie, God, understand that you are one who cannot lie and that they will see the great love that you have had for them, that they might come to know who you are and know your saving grace. So as we prepare to leave this place, God, I pray over the food that has been prepared. May that food be used for the nourishment of our physical bodies, God. Your favor and your blessings on the people as they go. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you guys.